We're turning this morning to the Gospel by Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew, chapter 24, and we begin our reading at verse 1. Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Notice verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come into thy presence. We thank you that you're more interested in us than we are in ourselves. You have not left us without witness. You have graciously manifested your mercy and your grace to us time and again. And now we ask you this morning in particular that as we study together, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart will be acceptable in thy sight, and that we may hear thy voice speaking to us through your word, which declares unto us, this is the way, walk ye in it, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord had presented himself to the nation of Israel as their king on the basis of Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9 and what we commemorate as Palm Sunday when our Lord rode into Jerusalem on the donkey and the people shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. However, after our Lord presented himself to the nation of Israel as their king, he also instructed his disciples that he was returning to the Father. And before he returned to the Father, he was going to undergo the redemption of man through his death and resurrection at the cross on Calvary's Hill. And now in Matthew chapter, the closing verses of chapter 23, you'll find that after our Lord was presented as king, he presented himself as king, he went into the temple, you remember, and he cleansed it by casting out the money changers. They rejected him. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the scribes, they all rejected the Lord. And when you read the 38th and 39th verses of the 23rd chapter, he said, Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. It was no longer his father's house. It was their house. For that which resembled the father and which spoke to the heart of the person of Christ, they had rejected. For that's what the temple did. And he said to them, Your house is left unto you desolate. And then he added, For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, until ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Then in chapter 24, his own disciples come to him privately. It's amazing what our Lord said to his disciples in private. That would make a good series of Bible studies. The private teachings of our Lord. What our Lord said to his own privately regarding divorce. In John chapter 10. And not John, Mark chapter 10. What he said when he was in private. How our Lord in private interpreted the parable of the wheat and the tares. He did it privately with his disciples. Many times our Lord spoke privately to his own. Well, our Lord said privately to his own after the rich young ruler walked away from him. He instructed them concerning things that are impossible with man, but possible with God. Furthermore, now our Lord speaks, or he's approached privately by his disciples. And what we know of as this Olivet Discourse is given to his own. Now, privately, the disciples are asking him concerning his coming. If you're not going to come again until they say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, tell us, when shall these things be? When is the temple, when are these stones in the temple going to be thrown down? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? Now this morning I want to deal with the subject, the sign of the coming of the Lord. We have to deal with that word sign as it's used in Scripture, because that lays the foundation for it. That word sign, what is its meaning in the Word of God? For they said, what shall be the sign of thy coming? Now that word sign appears 119 times in the Word of God. The first usage of the word sign in Scripture has to do with creation. In the context of creation, when God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, in the divine scheme of things, according to Genesis 1 verse 14, he says, these heavenly bodies are for signs and for seasons. Finally, its last usage in the book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, the word sign is used in the context of God's final judgment of the earth. Notice chapter 15 of Revelation and verse 1. Revelation chapter 15 and verse 1. It says, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Here we find the judgment of God upon a wicked world is presented as a sign in heaven, and it's something to keep before us. What's the purpose of a sign? Signs are for seeking. Men are called upon to look at, to behold signs. Signs are intended to be conspicuous. They're not to be hidden. If you're in a strange country, or a strange area of this country, and you want to go somewhere, you look for signs along the road to give you direction. Now, the Bible speaks of signs as being accomplished by our Lord in his earthly life. John tells us in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, and it's used here in relation to miracles, because signs are miraculous in nature. It says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing have life to his name. Now that word signs and miracles are used interchangeably in the Word of God. Signs, friends, are miraculous things that are placed by God at a fork in the road of redemption to tell men which way to go. That's what a sign means in the Word of God. They're placed by God at a conspicuous place, a fork in the road. Which way should I go? And God places a sign there. And they are there for men and women of faith. And it's telling them, this is the way, walk ye in it. Now signs, friends, also are relative to the Jewish nation. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, the Jews seek after a sign. They continuously were asking our Lord, give us more miracles. Give us more miracles. Show us more signs. Signs are Jewish in nature. And also, signs are directional in nature rather than chronological. You see, they tell us which way to go rather than what time. Signs. Not what time, but which way. For that is their purpose. Now, when God sent Moses to Egypt to deliver the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage, he equipped Moses with a rod. He said, "Thou shalt take this rod in thine hand when you appear before Pharaoh." And verse 17 of chapter 4 of Exodus says this, "And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." And the word of God says that Moses wrought signs and wonders throughout the land of Egypt. There were 10 plagues, and each one was connected with Moses' rod that God gave him to take in his hand when he went in before Pharaoh. In other words, Moses used the rod to perform signs which were natural and which were supernatural. And of course, you remember the word of God tells us in the book of Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, as Jannes and Jambres, two of the magicians in Pharaoh's court, withstood Moses, they performed the same sign many times until they had to admit this is a finger of God. They couldn't do it because the plague was upon them. The plague was upon the emissaries of Satan. Now, I want you to think with me, what is the sign of thy coming? I want to talk to you basically about three signs in the Bible. Number one, the sign of the first advent. Number two, the sign of our Lord's redemptive work. And number three, the sign of his coming. Now, the sign of his coming, we're just going to get to briefly this morning. I'm going to deal with it far more tonight when I talk about the Daniel 70th week, Daniel chapter 9, and also the tribulation. Nevertheless, what is the sign of thy coming is what our Lord was asked of his disciples privately. Notice, when we talk about the sign of Christ's first advent, what does the scripture say would be that which showed the pre-incarnate Son of God definitely as the incarnate Son of God? Pre-incarnate means that Christ ever lived. He never had a beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. What about the incarnate means when the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us? How would man be able and know with absolute authority that this is indeed the Messiah? How would man know? Well, God says he placed a sign. God placed a sign before men. I'd like you to turn to the 7th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7. In Isaiah chapter 7, there's a conspiracy between Remaliah, the king of Israel, and the king of Syria. And verse 3 says, "Then said the Lord unto Isaiah," what they're planning to do, Remaliah and the king of Assyria, is planning to come down and invade Judah, remove Ahaz from being king, and set another king there. What is behind it? If you don't notice what is behind these actions, you'll miss it. God promised in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And Satan was continuously trying to prevent the person of Christ from being born. Now, in the days of Abraham, or in the days of the flood, he tried to contaminate the human family. He tried to stop it in the days of Abraham, as we noted this morning in our Sunday school lesson in Genesis chapter 20. Then God chose David, that he would come of the line of David, and the great Davidic covenant that you find in 2 Samuel 7 and Psalm 89. Now, Satan is working through the king of Israel, those 10 tribes that seceded from the house of David under Jeroboam. And also they have confederate with them the king of Assyria. Now they want to come in and remove Ahaz and set their own puppet government up in Judah. That's the background here. Notice what God says, verse 3. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And say unto him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of reason with Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. See what they're trying to do. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand. My, what a statement. God says it won't happen. I love this. You see, man can say, I'm going to do that. God says, no, you're not. It won't happen, is what God says. Neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is reason. And wherein 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it shall not be a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. What is God saying? God says to Ahaz the king, just believe me. What does God say to us today? Trust me. Now, he says, and I want you to get this. He says, moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But you will weary God also. Now watch the next verse. Therefore, because the unbelieving king would not ask a sign when God told him to ask a sign. God says, I'm going to give you a sign. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. God turned from the unbelieving king to the whole house of Israel and he gave them a sign. But it was a sign to identify the righteous king who behind the scenes was Satan trying to hinder him from being born in the house of David. He was trying to keep the righteous king from being born and from reigning. As God says, I'll give you a sign, a virgin shall conceive. And he'll bring certain and he'll bring eternal deliverance. Because you're going to call his name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. Notice, with the passing of time after this great sign was mentioned by God, there are many who ridiculed the sign. There are many who ignored the sign. And there are many who simply forgot it. Only a few continued to wait in holiness for it. Zacharias, Elizabeth, Anna, and that old man in the temple, old Simeon, Mary, and Joseph, and a few others are mentioned in the Word of God. For Anna spoke of those who waited for redemption in Israel. How many they were, we don't know. But you see, the time came that the Son of God was born. Look with me now at Luke chapter 2. Luke's Gospel chapter 2. And we want to begin reading at verse 10. The angel is here speaking to the shepherds. And we read, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. This shall be a sign unto you. No, it wasn't the swaddling clothes, which showed that he was born into extreme poverty. For there are many children that were born into poverty. The sign was that he was virgin born. That was a sign. The fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. He's a virgin born son of God. Oh, what a passage. You see, no one, when the shepherds came, asked, Where's the proud father? Joseph was not his father. The father of the Son of God was God himself. This shall be a sign unto you. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son. You shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And I tell you, when the shepherds went to Bethlehem, they bowed, they worshipped, they arose, and they left. They beheld what Ahaz would not ask for. That was a sign of his first advent, virgin birth. Now, what was a sign of his redemptive work? When our Lord began his public ministry, the scribes and the Pharisees came and asked for a sign. You have that in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 40. You have it in chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. You have it in Mark chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. What sign showest thou that you do these things? And you remember what our Lord said. He said, as recorded in Matthew 16 and verse 4, A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. The Jews seek after a sign. A wicked and adulterous generation. You see, why? He had committed spiritual adultery. They had forsaken the commandments of God, and they preferred the doctrines of men. They had committed spiritual adultery. They substituted the traditions of men for the Word of God. And that is spiritual adultery. But our Lord did say this in Matthew 12, verse 40. Said, Now no sign will be given to this generation except the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Here we see the sign. Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. He must have been an awful sight when he went to Nineveh. For the city repented over Jonah. Can you imagine living 3 days and 3 nights in the gastric juices of a whale? And come out without being scarred, and everybody saw it. Jonah was a sign. When they looked at Jonah, they could see something was wrong. When I was a boy, there was a piano tuner that lived on 9th Street in Lebanon. And he had a big tumor hanging at the back of his neck that came halfway down his back, about the size of a watermelon. And we were children, and we just stared at that man. And he came to our home a number of times. We just stared at him. He was a sign. He was a sight. Now, friend, Jonah was a sign to the people. Our word says there's no sign given to this generation except the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. For you see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, just as Jonah coming forth and proclaiming the message to the Ninevites, the Gentiles, Christ is going to come forth in resurrection power, and he's going to have a message for the world. The Gentiles, as well as the Jews, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And it's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that he is declared, according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. What have we learned concerning a sign? The sign of Christ's first advent, his virgin birth. The sign of his redemptive work, Jonah. His death and his resurrection. Now we come to the third. What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? Matthew chapter 24. Did you notice what we read this morning in Matthew chapter 24? Our Lord said in this 24th chapter, in verses 29 through 30, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign. Ooh. Then shall appear the sign of the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven, with power and great glory. What is the sign of Christ's second advent? It shall be great cosmic disturbances. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 6. And we want to read the events of the sixth seal. Revelation chapter 6, beginning at verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, because for the great day of his wrath is come. What is the sign? Great cosmic disturbances. Our Lord says when this takes place, the kindreds of the earth are going to wail because of him. Matthew 24. Here we find men and women crying out to rocks and mountains to hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. You see, friends, there was a sign to authenticate his first coming. The virgin birth. There is a sign to authenticate the reality of his redemptive work, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Word of God declares He died for our sins according to the Scripture. The Word of God declares that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And there will be a sign for His coming. The cosmic disturbances in the universe. What does this tell us right now? It tells us this. Today is the day of salvation. Today is a time when men can approach Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There's a day coming when He's coming to judge. He's coming to judge in righteousness. And the sign of it are the great cosmic disturbances throughout the universe. That's what the Scripture says. Our Lord is coming again. Men say it can't happen. Men may belittle the truth of the coming of the Lord. But it's just as real as the day's sun. Then this takes place. When the sign appears, it will mean mercy for the people of God. It will mean judgment for those who believe not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, let me ask you, do you believe? Are you a child of God by the blood of His cross? Have you trusted Him? You see, we can look with certainty as we look backward. The virgin birth, the resurrection from the dead, and we can just as well look forward to the cosmic disturbances of the universe. They're going to take place. It's just as real as today's sunrise. Are you in Christ? That's a real answer. Our Lord said, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Let's stand together for the benediction. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bow to give you thanks for ever revealing your will to us. We thank you that we can study your word with certainty, with assurance, with joy in our own souls, because of who thou art, what thou hast revealed concerning thy dear Son. All we ask you to search our hearts and the hearts of each one in thy presence. Oh, Father, for any in our midst who are not prepared, oh, that they may flee to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. We look to you and we ask you to work in our midst. And then tonight, we ask you for wisdom that as we gather tonight, that we may behold the reality of these things in the setting that you give for them in the Word of God. And now upon thine own that have truly believed in thee, may thy grace, thy mercy, and thy peace abide with a new sense of the assurance that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. His virgin birth proclaims Him Emmanuel. His resurrection from the dead proves Him to be the Son of God. His coming again in power and great glory will hail Him as the blessed Redeemer of His people. And we await that day. So may thy grace, thy mercy, and thy peace rest upon thy people with a new sense of who thou art and the purposes of your word. For any amongst us who have not believed in thee, may they have divine restlessness give them neither peace nor joy until they rest in thee. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.